You're listening to Scopes Monkey Choir. Music in a rational universe.
Scopes Monkey Choir.
Excuse me.
Episode.
I wasn't ready for that.
Episode 39.
Scopes Monkey Choir.
The music where science, the podcast where music and sound meet science and skepticism.
And stupidity, apparently.
And stupidity. Sorry we missed last week. We totally just didn't have time and we didn't have anything prepared and we fell apart and everything exploded.
And you had a Tam hangover.
I had a Tam hangover.
And I had a Switzerland hangover.
Yeah, it was
a cheese and chocolate hangover.
Yeah.
But now we're back. Oh, and in fact, I was back at a church job this morning, and oh my God, or
uh-oh.
Oh your God,
I
almost had a...
I saw your tweets this morning.
...secular humanist breakdown.
Oh,
I almost
dear.
Stood up and shouted in church.
What happened?
Oh, the preacher started his sermon by giving a definition of secular humanism that it was actually... The definition itself was inoffensive. It was something like... a worldview whereby you base your beliefs on evidence rather than faith.
And there were no finger quotes involved?
Not yet, but then it went on to... He went on to basically say that secular humanism was a glorification of the self. And
a
the human individual.
Said deification, right?
That was my word. I kind of put that word in his mouth, but he basically said that secular humanists are just self-centered bastards.
Uh-huh.
Basically,
nice.
Because they don't believe in miracles. It wasn't quite that bad, but it really bashed the scientific worldview in this way that I've never heard in these liberal New York churches where I find religion fairly inoffensive.
Right.
But it was pretty classic. It was a demonization of the scientific worldview just because it won't allow for things like miracles.
Yeah. Oh.
And for a personal God. And somehow he thinks that considering the human being and human society important is more selfish than considering Jesus Christ your personal savior.
You know, that's just stupid. Sorry.
Anyway, I was finding it very hard to sing for God this morning. I usually just take my paycheck and go.
And the best thing is when it's like, they don't believe in miracles, and they don't believe in a personal God, and they don't believe in the supernatural. But it's just another religion.
Oh, yes, he said it was just another religion.
Oh, he did?
He said secular humanism was just another religion.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a sort of pointless rant, but I do find that I have to sing for God occasionally because he has all the money, or at least his people do.
Yeah, sing for people who...
So
yeah.
If you are a secular humanist and you are arranging some event to glorify the wonder of nature and the fantastic awe that can be inspired by the natural universe, please... pay some singers to be there so we can sing for something that we do believe in or that we don't have to believe in because it's actually there. All right, there's my rant.
it was glorious. So a couple of news, not really news, more of like a link dump, maybe picks, I don't know. There were just a couple of things that I just wanted to mention. We'll link to them on the show notes. There was a great post by Karen Bondar at Scientific American, which was basically Lady Gaga parody video tips for scientists. And it just made me so happy. It's just like, that there are enough scientists making Lady Gaga parody videos to warrant there being a video to warrant having someone write a post to give them advice on how to do it well is just like a sign of healthy society. It's awesome.
If you say so.
I say so. The other thing I wanted to mention, anyone who's interested in there was a post by Tim Gowers called The Enduring Myth of Music and Maths. Which was basically an overview.
Clearly, he's British.
Yeah, or something. It was basically an overview of various often mentioned supposed links between music and math and why there just isn't really evidence for any of them. And so
there's no evidence for math?
Yeah, there's no evidence that math or music exists, in fact.
You mean a link between aptitude?
Well, yeah, I mean, he talks about, of course, the Mozart effect, and then, but yeah, aptitude, and he talks about how people are always saying that music and math are so related, and, oh, mathematicians must be really good at music, and vice versa, and is there any truth to that? And he says, well, I have all this anecdotal evidence, but no one's actually looked at it, and he talks about that kind of thing. It's kind of interesting.
I better read it.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
And then there was also the other item, which is going to lead us into our main thing, was the synthetic gel thing, right?
Oh, yes, the synthetic vocal cord gel.
Yeah. So this is this synthetic gel that mimics vocal folds, which is the technical term for what everyone else calls vocal cords.
It mimics the viscoelasticity of vocal cords.
Voulez-vous.
Which is exactly what it sounds like. Viscous and elastic.
Yes, exactly. So basically it was an MIT and Harvard team that developed a variation of a polyethylene glycol that, as Haiteng says, has the same visco... Oh, we didn't say who we were. I'm Matthew.
Oh, I'm Haiteng.
Has the same visco... I can't say that word. As human vocal cords. And so this specifically can be... they are hoping can be used to help people who have vocal scarring, which is actually quite a large number of people. It's estimated that 6% of people in the U.S. have some kind of voice disorder, and the majority of those are involve scarring of the vocal folds. So the ideas with this is, and you gotta go and look at the video of this gel acting like vocal folds. It's very cool. The idea is that this gel mimics the vocal folds, so they would inject them inject it into the scarred vocal folds, and that then when you blow, they would mimic the...
When you blow.
What the?
When you blow.
Well, yeah, that's what you're doing, right? When you exhale.
That's true.
When you exhale in the way that you would normally to make sound.
Yes.
Right?
In order for it to be called blowing, doesn't it have to involve the lips?
Yeah, I guess, well...
You put your lips together and blow.
Oh, somebody, everyone make your own jokes right now. We're not doing it.
La, 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 la.
So,
are you done? We're going on.
Yeah, we're not going, yeah.
We might as well admit it. This is gonna be the meat of this podcast. So we are now in the viscoelastic meat of this podcast.
Which is, what's the title? Which is, we're going to talk about the...
We're going to talk about the vocal folds.
Vocal pathology, right?
Or well, the vocal not folds. Necessarily. We're going to talk a lot about the vocal colds and...
Okay.
Vocal folds and colds and other things that can cause trouble in the vocal folds, which used to be called vocal cords.
Right. So go check out the video so you can see it. And it also has inside it, it shows what actual vocal folds look like. And that's cool too, albeit slightly icky. So this thing has been tested on dogs. And all the dogs are fine, just so you know. It has not yet been tested on humans. They are hoping to do that.
Are you sure all the dogs are fine? Because I'm not.
Oh, I thought they said that all the dogs were fine. Well, I don't know.
They didn't say that they didn't harm them in the...
Well, here's what they did. They took some dogs and they trained them to talk, and then they scarred their vocal tissue, and then with this stuff, the dogs were still able to talk.
And they asked them how they felt afterwards.
Arf, you're fine. No, they tested them on dogs.
Okay,
I don't know
all
how
that
they
was not true.
I guess
Matthew
the dogs...
is now just completely making stuff up. He's over there just fabricating stuff. And...
I don't. Well, no, but I got confused because I didn't read. I only saw the abstract. I couldn't see the whole paper. So were the dogs barking or?
Yes, they
howling.
They were making vocal noises that dogs make, but I'm not sure that they didn't kill them in order to find out how their vocal cords were doing because there was a limited. I don't know.
Why would
maybe
they do
they
that?
Would be
they
fine.
Have a laryngoscope.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They have the puppy model laryngoscope.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So we don't know. Let's not spread rumors like that.
All right. No spreading rumors about the harming of puppies.
So the vocal scarring thing is very interesting. One of the most interesting things about it is that even with the laryngoscope and modern medicine and blah, 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 there's still not general agreement on what the different kinds are. Now,
can I go back and just give an overview of what we're talking about here, how these vocal folds work, and what the proper functioning is?
Yes.
So if you want to hear more about vocal function, you can go back to our episode number.
Hamina.
Insert number here, in which we talk about vocal function. But we're going to talk specifically right now about the vocal folds, which, as I said, used to be called vocal cords. And they changed the name because it's a better description to say vocal folds, since they're not detached cords. They're actually kind of folds of flesh that come together and vibrate at the glottis, which is where you bring them together. You open it up in order to breathe, and you close it up in order to make noise. And then you put pressure from your lungs with air that goes through between these vocal folds and causes them to vibrate. So there are...
Episode 27.
Darn, I thought you were going to do a little funny insert.
No, I'm not funny.
No.
So...
The vocal folds consist of the muscle, which is the deepest layer. And I think that I'm not sure about this, but I think that there is also a ligament that runs along the length of each vocal fold on the side. And then they have a covering, which is the mucosa, which singers talk about a lot. They talk about the state of their mucosa, because it is very important to proper
before concerts vocal the singers are like sticking each other's fingers down each other's throats. And
that is so not true. This is rank exaggeration.
Yeah.
So the mucosa consists of two layers. One of the outermost layer is the epithelium. The epithelium is just basically an outer layer of skin, and our epidermis on the outside of our body is a specialized epithelium, but all the rest of our body, our stomach and everything inside, also has an epithelium. It's the outermost layer that holds everything in.
Uh-huh.
And then the vocal folds have a special layer underneath the epithelium, which is called the lamina propria, and it's very loose connective tissue, which is what has this special viscoelasticity. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of gummy. It has some collagen in it, and it has some other fibers that are really loose and allow for this special vibration. The special vibration actually, when the vocal cords are working properly, the mucosa has a waveform of its own where it starts at the underside that's closest to your lungs and the bottom of the vocal cords. That part comes together, and then the wave kind of like moves up the mucosa until it reaches the outermost edge of the vocal folds, which is closest to your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, as the air... The opening reaches the outermost part, the lowermost part is already coming together again. So it's kind of like a rippling motion.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you'll see in these videos. You can see it. It's really cool. You can see it, especially on the gel, because the gel is see-through.
Right,
and when you look at the vocal folds, you can't see that, because when the top is together, you can't see the undermost side. And in fact, some of the literature that I was reading from otolaryngologists, who are the MDs who study...
The voice docs,
right. They were saying that sometimes people miss the pathology and the undermost layer because you really don't see it.
Right.
Because it's at the bottom.
Right.
Underneath everything. So, in order for the pressure, the air pressure that you can produce from your lungs to properly set up this wave, the mucosa has to really be at a specific... viscoelasticity, excuse
right.
me, not viscosity, because then it would run down your throat and that would be disgusting. So various normal things can affect the viscoelasticity of this mucosa, among them, like if your voice is tired, then it thickens, the mucosa thickens just because the tissue is tired and gets a little swollen. Hormonal changes can affect it. I believe estrogen causes everybody. Premenstrual things cause bloating in all cells, water retention in all cells. So likewise, the mucosa gets a little thickened. Each cell gets each cell swells up a little bit with water,
right.
And so the overall effect is that it gets a little bit thicker.
Oh.
It gets a little less viscoelastic. And it's a little harder to make the vocal cords vibrate. So, many things
all
that you
sorts
could
of things
think
can
of.
Go
cold,
on. But we're talking about
whatever.
Scarring here, right?
Right. So, but scarring actually is really particular and is not usually caused by anything normal that can happen to your vocal cords. It can't be caused by smoking or coughing or overuse of the cords. Other things can be caused by that, but it's real scarring that for which you might need this kind of procedure is mostly only caused by real trauma. So it can be caused by blunt laryngeal trauma, but mostly it is caused by surgery.
To take care of
other things.
When people talk about vocal abuse, what are they referring to?
So the things that you can get from vocal abuse are these other things like nodes, polyps, hemorrhages.
That's not scarring.
That cannot. Those things don't really permanently damage the mucosa.
Okay.
But many of those things will need to be operated on if you want to retrieve normal vocal function, and that's when you risk scarring.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why people are so afraid to have vocal surgery, even if they have a problem, because you can get real scarring can cause
permanent damage
and you can really not
fix something not
exactly
permanent, right?
And you can really not phonate. So why don't we go into some of these
let's talk about nodes because
why don't you talk about nodes, because you were a rock singer.
Because nodes is the most familiar, nodes is the one people talk about. Oh, Stevie Nicks got nodes, and you know, at least seems to me that it's the one you actually hear in common usage the most.
And they're often referred to as vocal calluses.
Which is not really accurate.
It's not quite accurate, but it's similar.
You know what I just realized?
What?
I mentioned Stevie Nicks for a second podcast in a row. I know
you have a total crush on her.
This is not a theme, people. Don't worry.
Uh-huh.
No Stevie Nicks mentioned next week. So nodes is the sort of popular term for vocal nodules, and it's a type of lesion, like a swelling or growth on the vocal cords. Now they can be it comes from vocal abuse behavior, as Haiting mentioned, but it also can be related to acid reflux disease. And they don't quite understand the connection there, but there is a connection. Now the thing is that it makes these little lesions on your vocal on each vocal fold, and they're bilateral, so they're right next. They're on each of the vocal folds at the same place, and they're almost always at the 1/3 or the 2/3 spot of if you know what
because
I mean.
Because those are the areas that get that are under the most pressure.
Right. And now, do you know why that is? I couldn't figure that out.
It's because of the waveform.
Yeah.
Because that's where you have to place the most pressure on the tissue in order to get the vocal cords to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but
yeah, because it would suggest that there's actually the harmonic that divides it into three. The third ratio would be the most common or something, right?
You might think that, except that, as I said, the waveform, the wave in the mucosa is actually vertical. Rather than horizontal.
Oh, right.
And I do know that the form that is made by the opening and closing of the vocal cords, when the air is let through and when it is not, is usually ovoid. So it opens the most at the center, and it stays together at the corners.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's something to do with the waveform in that kind of ovoid or elliptical shape. But really, this is rank speculation.
Rank speculation.
Yeah. For some reason, that's where the most pressure is at the third points.
Right. So the most common treatment for nodes is still, for various reasons, including the ones Haiting said about how it can actually be dangerous. Surgery can be quite dangerous and such. The main treatment is actually speech therapy.
Or just rest. I mean, they really are similar to calluses. They're overgrowths of a certain portion of the mm-hmm. tissue because of the continuous small trauma.
Yeah. Now, more recently, people have been experimenting with other treatments, including Botox, steroids, and laser treatment. These are all recent. They've been studied and they show promise, but they're not... as far as I can tell, they're not consensus, but they show real promise, apparently.
Interesting. So, a polyp. Now, a polyp is, actually, it's been a little difficult to tell whether there's consensus on exactly what distinguishes a polyp from a node. But as far as I can tell, one thing that distinguishes a polyp from a node is that a polyp is unilateral. It's only on one vocal fold.
Right.
And it might end up matched on the other side by a little irritation and swelling.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, basically a polyp is on one side and it's a more extreme protrusion. I think it may be a growth in the lamina propria, the lower layer.
I'm not that even actually, try to say that.
That ends up protruding through the epithelium and causing a little outgrowth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So then you can also get a vocal cord hemorrhage. Where,
ooh,
because
nice.
Of trauma, you can break one of the capillaries in the vocal fold, and it can fill with blood and swell. Like it's like a blood blister on your vocal cord.
Nasty. Oh, I forgot to put the pansori underneath.
Okay. Oh, pansori. Okay, yeah. Well, while we're talking about hemorrhaging,
right.
Which is one of the things that a trauma can do. So that you can cause that by just yelling once, or I believe you can cause it by extreme coughing. Those tend to be just like the one traumatic event. It's maybe sometimes when your vocal cords are extra sensitive, either because of acid reflux or because of having a cold, which inflames the tissues, so that you can cause a hemorrhage
mm-hmm.
just in one instant. It's not from continuous overuse.
But
you're right, we're talking about trauma to the vocal cords, and you have told me in the past about this kind of traditional Korean singing called
pansori. Yeah,
pansori
is a traditional Korean vocal style.
This is not a non sequitur, actually.
Yeah, it relates, and it's very old. It was developed, I think, about 1,000 years ago or something like that. And it's kind of like a Korean storytelling thing. The most famous pansori piece is called Chunhyang. I don't know how to pronounce it. Chunhyang. There was a movie in the year 2000, a Korean film called that, Chunhyang, that tells the story, but it also has a pansori singer in parts of it. And I recommend it. It's a really sweet romantic movie, and it's a nice introduction to the style of singing.
Which is very cool.
Which is a very cool... Here, listen. So these pansori pieces, they go on for hours and hours. I think Chunhyang is like 6 hours, maybe, or maybe it's 8 hours, somewhere in this. It's very long. It started being developed about 1,000 years ago. Now, unlike a lot of these sort of traditional, like, court music traditions, this one, pansori, actually started as people's music, as just sort of a storytelling tradition, and it actually filtered up and eventually became court music, which is, as far as I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's usually the other way around, right?
I don't know.
So, pansori, cool. Why does it relate? It relates because part of the training to be a pansori singer involves purposefully hurting your vocal cords. It involves screaming and yelling, and so you can get that, as you can hear, that sort of really rough, intense sound. Since we were talking about it, I had to talk about pansori because I love it. It's such an amazing style.
I'm sorry, my jaw. I'll retrieve my jaw now from the floor. It's hard to imagine getting your vocal training by purposely hurting your vocal cords, but sure is a cool sound.
Yeah. The singer, by the way, is Cho Sang-hyun.
I find it really interesting how they can still get really high, pure tones.
Yeah.
But the low tones are really rough like that. Like they have something on their vocal cords, like their horse.
Mm. Like the horse.
Yeah.
Or a mule.
All right. By the way, while we're talking about being horse, when you are horse, what is happening is that something chaotic is going on in the waveform of the in the wave in the mucosa that creates noise. And it can be also in combination with an inability of the vocal folds to actually reach each other, so that you get that kind of airy sound.
Uh-huh.
And this is another vocal cord voice abnormality that can happen. And in fact, this happened to you once. Remember when you sang too much
voice
on
got
your
fucked up?
Yeah.
Yes, you sang too much on really swollen vocal cords, and then when you went to the otolaryngologist, he told you that you had gotten so used to singing with those swollen vocal cords,
right,
that the muscles that bring the cords together, which is a whole other mechanism, got used to only coming together for the swollen vocal cords, and
right,
so when the swelling went down, they were still going to that spot for the swollen vocal cords, so they weren't bringing the vocal folds together completely.
Yeah, that was nasty.
That's yet another pathology.
That was back when I was still doing the singer-songwriter thing, and then I couldn't sing, and that sucks.
At least it's temporary. There's apparently a condition called actually, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it looks like sulcus vocalis, where the whole mucosa apparently atrophies, and you just have the ligaments in your vocal cords that meet each other directly, and they can't vibrate properly. They don't. There's no mucosa to make a wave.
Oh, this is all just.
But that's one of the things that apparently could probably be treated by this new gel injection of this new gel, and it must be. I don't know this for sure, but it must be that they're injecting the gel under the epithelium.
Mm. Yeah, that was one thing that wasn't clear.
It says in the abstract from the study. It says injected into. So it must be in there somehow.
Yeah. Well,
I just want to say that they've been working on therapies for this for a while. In 2005, they already had several therapies before this where they did things like injecting fibroblasts, which are cells that synthesize collagen and other connective tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several other therapies they've tried injecting various things into the vocal cords, and they actually have had some success with them, but never perfect. So this is just yet another step in trying to find a solution to people who have scarring in their vocal cords.
Yeah, and we wish them the best of luck.
We do.
And we sure hope those dogs are fine.
Julie Andrews is supporting this research, by the way. She had...
She lost her voice in the late 90s, right?
She lost her voice because she had surgery for a polyp, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And got vocal cord scarring, and boy, is that a shame.
Should we give a little hint for the instrument du jour of the week next week?
Oh, yeah, we're going to bring back the instrument du jour of the week for next week. So
here's a hint.
Here it is.
Yeah, so whatever the hell that is, we will talk about it next week.
Next week on Scope's Monkey Choir.
Choir. So bye, and thanks for listening to Scopes Monkey Choir from scopesmonkeychoir.com.
We are professional musicians, but amateur scientists.
Not scientists. Right, we changed the wording. You didn't get the memo? If you doubt something we've said, don't believe us, look it up yourself.
We do love science, though.
Nevertheless, each episode's page at scopesmonkeychoir.com has references and citations.
Write to us at scopesmonkeychoir@gmail.com or leave us a message on the monkey phone.
347-788-0330.
So that we can play your talking on the air.
I tweet at Squidocto.
And I tweet at Scopes Monkeys.
Until next week.
Bye.